on horse-machine interaction explores through the Umamimi robotic horse ears. And over to you, Rich, who's going to press play.
My name is Steve Norton, and the title of my talk is A Computational Anthropology Perspective on Horse-Machine Interaction Explored Through the Umamimi Robotic Horse Ears. So this is me. I'm primarily a computer science researcher with a long history of working in human-computer interaction, that's HCI, with a specific focus on animal-computer interaction, ACI, more recently computational anthropology. I'm a qualified natural horse machine instructor with animal behavior, ethology, and horse training experience. So what would be a good place to start? I considered starting this talk very conventionally, introduce my research group, etc., and then moving on to the topic. But my work on Umamimi is all about staying in the moment and joining the herd. So I'm going to cut straight to the interesting bit, and then I'll come back to some more of the academic stuff later. Here I have two of my horse companions. This is Free on the left, who's an American quarter horse, and Duke on the right, who's a Dale's pony. In the photograph, I'm wearing the Umamimi robotic horses. In a minute, I'll show you a video of this device in action, but for now, an image will do. I've spent much of this summer in-eared, as in wearing my ears, my robotic ears, and mixing with my horses. I can't claim to live with them, but I join her twice a day, and sometimes I wear them immediately, and sometimes I don't. One of the fields that I work in is animal-computer interaction, ACI. So what is this? It looks at the relationship between animals and technology, and it does this in three different ways. One, by studying the interaction between animals and technology in naturalistic settings around specific animal activities or interspecies relations. Two, developing user-centered technology that can improve animals' welfare and support animals in their activities. Three, informing user-centered approaches to the design of technology intended for animals, derived from both interaction design and animal science. Those 3 points, the definition comes from Clara Mazzini's 2011 paper, Animal-Computer Interaction ACI Manifesto. Computational anthropology, obviously other people in anthropology worked using technology and applying it, but there doesn't seem to have been much work done on actually defining how technology is used and when technology is being used as a tool to observe interaction, or when it's actually part of the interaction itself. So I define computational anthropology as one, using computers to study human interspecies relationships. So that's where the computer is itself a lens that you're looking through, using software, using programs, whatever, to study interactions between humans and non-humans. And two, studying human interspecies relationships that are themselves mediated by computers. So that's more like the field of animal-computer interaction, because it assumes that somewhere in the interaction will be a human and a non-human, because it's anthropology, so that interaction is important. But in some way, it was technology, and by that I mean digital era technology, it might be computers or some modern piece of technology is mediating that relationship. I'm going to briefly explain how I see animal-computer interaction, ACI, and computational anthropology, where their scopes align, where they overlap, and where there are slight differences. So to explain the difference between animal-computer interaction and computational anthropology, when you're studying interactions of any type, computers or other digital era technology may be used in research, and they're either used as the lens, using the technology to study, interpret, record, contextualize, detect, log, etc., or under the lens, where the researcher is looking at technology as one of the agents in an interaction. In both ACI and computational anthropology, technology is always involved, either at the lens or under the lens. But there are slight differences. Outlined in the red dotted line is computational anthropology, the minimum requirement for the type of interaction to be studied. So on both sides of that, on the left as the lens, on the right under the lens, the red dotted line indicates the minimum required participants in your interaction. So with the red dotted line as the lens, the computer needs to be looking at humans and non-humans as minimum interaction participants. And on the right hand side, under the lens, there has to be human and non-human and technology. So, as a lens, the minimum interaction scope is human and non-human, but under the lens, the minimum interaction scope is human and non-human and technology. Outlined in the blue dotted line, this is animal computer interaction, the minimum requirement for the type of interaction to be studied. So for animal lens, the minimum interaction scope is just non-human. It doesn't need to be human involved, but they could be. This is the minimum scope. So that's a big difference between the ACI and computational anthropozoology. Is the anthropozoology bit specifies that we always have to have a human in the reaction as well as a non-human. For other than that, the minimum interaction scope for ACI is a non-human technology. So to summarise, ACI focuses on non-humans possibly interacting with humans. Computational anthropozoology focuses on non-humans always interacting with humans. So what are the origins of the name? Umamimi means horse ears or horse ears, and I've used this name to reflect a Japanese tradition called Kemomimi, which means animal ears. This is found in both anime and manga. It describes characters that possess animal-like features. The characters will be predominantly human, and any real animal characteristics are minimal. Generally, Kemomimi characters have ears and tail which are animal-like. Often this is just part of their attire and needs to be removed at will. So this is an introductory video to Umamimi. Allegedly, a brain-controlled catalyst set, Necromini, means cattiness in the same way that means horses. So it allegedly is having an EEG device built into it. So it wasn't about movements as Umamini is, it was supposed to be responding to emotion. And these were quite popular devices, they sold quite a lot of them, but no one was actually sure that they did what it claims. So moving along, we've now got two other companion robots, also with expressed ears, showing how ears are considered to be an important part of even fairly basic robotic companions. The one with the blue ears is a Miro biomimetic robot. And the one to the right of that, predominantly white and red flashes on its belly, is the Navistan robot. So these are all things I looked at when I was thinking about the I missed out the kitty animatronic ears at the top there, which were, I think, responsive to movement. I'm not sure that they used any sensors, but they were a similar idea. So thinking a little bit more about how my work relates to human and other animal assemblages, that's situations where non-humans and humans come together in some kind of unified form. Obviously this crosses over somewhat between kind of areas like cultural and literary studies and also into performance art. So we've got here a couple of examples of performance artists. Marion Laval Chantet, who's left and far right. And the particular one on the far left is made of horse Lirindi, which she apparently actually injected herself with horse blood on all these horses. And in the centre we have Lisa the farmer, who made herself into an animal, but strangely was also in the centre with furniture legs as well. Carrying on from that theme, we have Thomas the Quake, also known as the Goat Man, who took a holiday from being human and using his prosthetics and robotic attachments made himself into a goat and for a period of time lived on the hillside with a herd of goats and wrote a book about it, which you can see at the bottom there. So horses and their use of communication, why they're important to the horse. This is something you're familiar with horses, you'll understand, but let's talk about it. There's literature in the field of equitation science suggesting that horses follow the directional ear movements of other horses as attention cues, that they also respond to human gaze cues in the same manner. The equine ear is a complex anatomical component. As a veterinary also in this textbook states, quote, each ear can be swiveled independently through 180 degrees or laid back, shutting it off. Such mobility is achieved with 16 auricular muscles attached to the base of the pinna. Humans have only three such muscles, all of which are vestigial. Easily visible at the top of the head, horses' ears are used to signal emotional state and intent in response to directional sounds. The horse will then flick the ear towards the source, or if the sound is coming from the front, flicks both ears forward. This is actually one of my toy robotic horses, but I like the exaggerated ears, so I can use it to demonstrate this, that ear positions and how horses from different viewpoints still appear to have these two basic cylindrical parallel objects sticking out the top of their heads, however you view them. So, making Umamini, there are two pictures here. On the left is the interior uncovered version, and you can see it's all very kind of mega culture, and it's not developed in a high tech lab. I've got some background in electronics and building things, but this is more about building prototype and getting it to work. On the right, you can see it's been covered here in black fake faux fur. So, the Umamini hardware is built in a metal framework, as I said, with a photo covering. Two micro servo motors each move nearly independently in incremental steps to a maximum range of 180 degrees. At the heart of the device is an all-in-one electronic project board. This board is powered by a programmable processor. The software for Umamini was developed using the Arduino programming language, which is a set of C and C++ functions for anyone who's interested in coding. Umamini responds to detected changes in an accelerometer similar to the one in the smartphone you might not have in your pocket right now. When the user, a human user, moves their head, the default position of human ears is neutral. Beyond this, in response to changes in the user's head orientation, Umimi has four predefined movements. Fully forward, fully back, one ear turned left, and one ear turned right. What happens when there's no input from the wearer, like you possibly ask them? This might be considered the device's default behavior. When idling awaits instructions, configurable code profiles have been developed, allowing the device to perform random micro moves. These can be used to model the characteristics of different horses or horse emotional states. Despite the need to fit beyond the scope of this presentation, I have actually written a publication describing how this works, but in short, it means that I can actually observe a specific real horse, and I can then, using an ethogram and a process of recording their ear movements and characteristics, I can feed that in the several parameters that you've been moving, and its random movements, the ones that aren't controlled by the user, will start to mirror the laconic slow movements, or the flicky fast constant movements, or how much the user together, etc.
So the
random
I'm just going to show you now how you need to trick the moon as well. So if I were to put my head slightly into the rudder, the ear should track the rudder, stay there, and feel the moon is back up again. So that's the acceleration of reading the ankle position. I have to some extent get a feel of where the leather position is. So that's the left position, should be. Then there's the more dramatic career is back, which is a bit like a kind of horse pinging an angle of fear. Slight angle shape in the head, which brings the ears forward into a kind of full attention position. So I should be doing right, left ear, right ear, left ear. Ears back. Tension back.
So, what further work is there to do on this? I've submitted a paper for publication which describes the technical aspects and the configurable profiles. That's the aspect that's about being able to model other live horses. That includes the workflow for observing real horses and modeling their characteristics using the device. So this is all very quantitatively based, this aspect of it. This is all about mythology techniques, observation, perhaps using multiple observers, checking inter-rater and intra-rater reliability, and it's all done properly in that kind of quantitative way. So you can see how I'm crossing over quite a lot of methodologies between qual and hybrid, in between and descriptive as well. I've also submitted a paper for publication which uses autoethnography and speculative fiction to tell the story of an imaginary study, which is about quantitative research, but it is itself qualitative. That's about evaluating how horses respond to seeing attention cues from the moon. There was a lot of research from citizens in equitation science looking at how horses respond to images shown by the horses paying attention to a particular bucket of food or a particular item, and whether they actually respond to the image as they would a real horse. And I'm proposing this imaginary study that I would do the same thing, but within a short video clip of the Umimi, turning his ear to indicate interest in something. And I'm also working on another autoethnography, which is a summer that is being heard, which is much more like the kind of descriptive storytelling short excerpt that I read from my field notes. It's about my impressions and my self-reflection on trying to be part of the herd and using the robotic ears as a way to improve communication, to see if that's even possible. Obviously, this is a crude way to do it. No one is seriously suggesting that this is going to become an interspecies communicator. But it's all about trying to understand what is important to horses, what form of communication ears are particularly important. so I focused my work for now on the years and the technology involved in it. And I'm going to bring it to a close there, so I'd like to thank you very much for listening to me, and I hope the rest of the conference goes really well. I'm sorry I can't get to see it, but it sounds like there's some fascinating topics.